Hello again, and welcome to the Twist My Arm podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm your forever host and friend of the Twist My Arm podcast. It is my goal here to twist your arm into checking out something new, and I aim to be your source for recommendations. If you're looking for new music, new movies, new TV shows, and everything in between, this is definitely the podcast to listen to. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube just by searching Twist My Arm Podcast. Or you can click on the links in the show notes. There is another show out there called Twist My Arm, but let's be honest. I am the original. I've been doing this for a long time. So make sure to find the right Twist My Arm Podcast. And hopefully those other things can get sorted out in the near future. This week, I am twisting your arm into the wonderful world of glam rock. That's right. Are you fans of Kiss or Steel Panther or any of those old-time 70s, 80s bands, Motley Crue, any of those things? Are you a fan of them? Because this guy is right up your alley. His name is Sam. He plays guitar for a band called the Midnight Devils, who just recently finished recording their latest album. Of course, we're going to talk about that a little bit in this interview, so I don't want to get too far into it. But I am extremely excited to have Sam on today. He's a really old friend of mine. We actually used to be in a band together a long time ago, so it was great to catch up and hear about the Midnight Devils, what they're doing, where they're going, and pretty much where you can see them next. If you're anywhere around the world right now, they're coming to you at some point in time, whether it's Australia, whether it's America, whether it's the UK, they're coming to you. Don't worry. It's a great time, and I am, again, extremely excited for you guys to hear this episode. Thank you again for checking it out, of course. And like I said, make sure to follow us anywhere you listen to podcasts or anywhere you take your social media on. Just search Twist My Arm Podcast. That's all I got, I think, for this intro this time. This week, we actually have a quick twist in the middle of the show, so that's kind of cool, right? I get to use the bumper in the right place this time. So, anyway, before I go on too long babbling about nothing, let's get into this interview. Please, while you're at your house, give a warm hand, warm round of applause. Listen, guys, I'm a little sick, okay? So my head is spinning, and I'm trying to record this without messing it up, but here I am messing it up, so Jesus, I'm sorry. Without further ado, I am extremely happy to welcome Sam from the Midnight Devils. Enjoy. Thank you for doing this again with me. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, and I apologize we haven't been back to Colorado in so long.
I live in Omaha now, dude.
Oh, well, welcome back.
Yeah.
Awesome. Are you liking Omaha?
Omaha's fine.
Yeah.
It's a lot better when I'm not 17 years old and struggling to survive.
I hand that completely.
So, but yeah, I've been here for a couple years now. I think you've played a couple shows out in Lincoln or even Omaha recently that I've been meaning to go to. So one of these days I'll make it out there.
Well, welcome back to Nebraska. I guess that's the...
Yeah, thanks. Dude, yeah. It's so much cheaper out here.
Yeah.
Compared to Denver.
I love it out here. I mean, besides the snow and the unending cold, it's not bad.
Yeah, the humidity sucks too, but it's peaceful.
Yep, you know? Sure.
It's nice. Sometimes I forget to lock my car and I don't feel bad about it the next day.
Mm-hmm. So. And that's what I tell everybody. I'm like, man, I love traveling. I love going everywhere, but Nebraska's always home and I love coming back here. It's something about this place that I can't stay away.
Yeah, I think it's just a home. You know, it's a homey place. Good to start a family or do whatever you need to do. Like the big cities, of course, are great for partying and doing. And
you know what it was, dude? It was honestly being out on the road and people would be like, "Well, where are you from?" And I'd say Nebraska, and they'd be like, they give me so much shit for being from Nebraska. Oh, you farm boy. Oh, you tipping cows. I'm like, no, man. We're like, we grew up in a city, you know? And so people would just endlessly talk so much smack about Nebraska that I was like, inevitably like, you know what? I'm proud to be from Nebraska. If I'm the only one that's going to be proud, I'm going to be proud to be. So now I got all this like annoying Nebraska female clothing that I wear on stage. Like Nebraska tube tops, like Husker tube tops.
Yes. As you should, though. I feel like people are embarrassed about Nebraska. Like there's some pretty big bands out there that have like denounced Nebraska, which is kind of crazy. So
it is really weird. So for me, it's like a really big point of pride. And lately, like when we've been coming home from tours, back in the summer, like we get right home from a tour and I thought, like, what's the best way to celebrate being home? Well, let's go to a Nebraska game. I don't really care that much about football, but the show and, you know, 90,000 people just going crazy. It's cool. It gives you goosebumps every single time. I don't really care about football that much, but it's so much fun.
Yeah. And there's nothing like home. You know what I mean? I guess I would always consider Loveland my home up in Colorado. Every time I go back there, I get a nice homey feeling and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it is good, especially being out on the road as much as you are, which is crazy, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you. Holy cow.
Like, I've been watching you I've known you forever, you know.
Yeah.
I used to play in a band. You're probably one of the only people that actually knows that I can play drums.
Yeah.
And like, it's been so fun to watch you go through all the steps. I mean, it started with, I knew you when Officially Terminated, and then it went to 3D In Your Face, and now it's evolved into the Midnight Devils. And like, it's so awesome to see like where you've gone. You just got back from a tour somewhere, didn't you, recently?
Yeah, the last one we did was the UK. We did 2 weeks in the UK supporting Pretty Boy Floyd, and it was incredible. Like, the shows were stacked, but that's our second time in the UK, so it just keeps getting better every time we go back. And the goal is like, okay, touring the States is difficult because it's so big. Our style of music, it just fits in so perfectly to a European or overseas audience that is like, man, every time we go out and do those, it's just like it just pushes us farther. Right. Like, as much work as we put into this, you really see that kind of, not necessarily a monetary return, but the return from the crowd. That feeling is just, it's crazy and it's cool. And being overseas, seeing those places, you know, the home of the Beatles, home of AC/DC. We've been to so many cool places and met so many cool people that, like, rock and roll, you know, we said it when we started, it's like the international language, rock and roll. And the reason that we started this and the reason that we got into a band was to get out of our city. And that's what we're doing.
And that's got to be cool for you too, because especially with your background and the kind of music that you like, it's all that kind of 80s, 70s, like rock and roll, you know, I call it glam rock.
But it totally is.
That's got to be what the UK is pretty much all about, right? As far as like glam rock is concerned, that's basically where it started.
Yeah. We went to places where like they would take us to these places where like the Slade like wrote and recorded their songs, like these old historic bars, like, and the bars in the UK are so short. So like guys like me and our drummer, Jimmy, you have to duck to even get into these bars. Yeah. And I almost think like, it's not, I love 80s music. I love 70s music. With the Midnight Devils, it's become a thing where it's not necessarily a throwback band. It's like, I really feel deep down inside that, hey man, people just want to listen to rock music. Like, I don't want to listen to, I was telling somebody, I go, I'm tired of modern metal. I'm tired of radio rock. Like, people, I want to listen to bands like AC/DC and Kiss. And I know there's a ton of other people that just want to listen to great rock and roll music. So for me, with the Midnight Devils, it's this really cool creative thing that mixes kind of the past of where we came from, our glam rock, our punk rock roots, what we love, but puts it into a new generation. We call it the new generation of glam rock, where it's that cool mixture of these bands. And hey man, we just love rock and roll, and we just want to play rock and roll for people that enjoy it. And we're going to push it past that point because we got the balls to go out and wear makeup and wear, you know, wear whatever we want. That this band has become just the biggest piece of freedom and creative freedom that I've ever been a part of. And it's so cool. And it's exciting. And most of all, it pisses people off, you know?
Yeah. Like, do people still get like off put by?
Oh yeah. That sort of thing? Yeah, absolutely. So in this day and age, when you post reels on social media, they kind of go viral, you know, not necessarily viral, but it hits a big audience. And as soon as I post a video, I just see the notifications on my phone, just people talking a lot of trash. Like, are these girls, are these guys, is that Motley Crue? Like, what's the deal with these transsexuals? Like, it's just so much. And I go, perfect. That's exactly what we're going
to
be
like. That's got to be the best part about it, though, yeah. Right?
Yeah, just because people talking trash, and we got the firepower to back it up easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And your guys' stage presence like backs up everything mm-hmm. already. Like your show is so much fun to see that like that's why you have people coming back. Mm-hmm. Because even if you're not a fan of that style of music, you guys are still bringing a party. It's not like
absolutely.
It's not like you have to stay in a box just because you play that style. Like you bring a party and a kind of what would I say, like an essence that people yes. gravitate to.
Yeah.
And I love it personally. And that's why you guys are getting that kind of recognition. And also, I mean, you look back at other bands, you know, Guns N' Roses and stuff like that, and people said the same shit.
Yep.
This guy, this is a girl. Yep. What, is he wearing girl clothes? What, you're just always talking shit. So like I've always said, like if people aren't talking shit, then you're not doing it right.
You are completely right. And that's what it's like. If I didn't get the notification, then I'd be like, well, what am I doing wrong here? You know, like if people weren't talking. So for me, every time somebody talks trash, I'm like, that's just great. I'm glad that you took the time out of your day to comment on our little old band from Nebraska. That's great.
Right. Right. Thanks for putting our video back in the algorithm for more people to see.
Yep. Absolutely. And then I comment with something smart right on top of it and boom, yeah. We're running. But you're totally right. And it's this positive forward party momentum. Like it's all that good, those good times and having a blast, no matter who you are, no matter what you do. It's like non-inclusive. It's just that everybody's welcome to come to this party. And there'll be those naysayers, you know, but once you get in front of once you get in that audience or you're in front of the Midnight Devils, you go, oh, I get it. And going back to where we came from, I stole those ideas from when we were in a punk rock band together and I transferred those to the Midnight Devils. So it's not a band and an audience for mm-hmm. us. And the way I look at it is it's this whole collective of people that's bringing this energy to like the fevered pitch. And I'll tell you my favorite thing to do is when they put us on really early in the day, you know, like they're like, oh, we'll put the Midnight Devils on first, or we'll put them on before the headlining act. And I'm like, yeah. Go do it. I'll band play after us, you know, not to be egotistical or anything like that, but that's the way I look at it.
But it's real though. And you guys bring the heat so much that like people exude all their energy for you guys. So absolutely. Then that headlining act comes out and everyone's all tired. And absolutely. They're like, what? The headline,
they have to match that energy, and if they don't, you feel the drop in the room, and people are like, "Oh, well, yeah, I guess okay."
It's getting kind of late. I think I gotta go. Yeah.
You know what? I was talking to my fiance, my girlfriend here, and she said, or we were talking. I told her I was doing an interview with you today, and so we went back onto the Officially Terminated website. And
really?
Our first tour that we ever did, you and I together, it was the first tour that I did. With Terminator was in 2006.
Wow.
So coming up is going to be our 20-year anniversary of the very first tour that we ever did together.
Wow.
And you were on the first tour.
Yeah, that was a great time. I was the only one that couldn't drink on that tour, I think.
Right.
So I got to drive a lot.
I was like, oh, I go, oh, yeah, we stayed in some places, and I go, there's a diary that I kept, and we.
Yeah.
We stayed at the in Des Moines. Do you remember staying at like the Holiday Inn?
Yes.
Like the parking.
Is that the one we got kicked out of?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I got an MIP that night too. And then like we never went back to Iowa. So
never.
Oh, that's so fun. Oh, memories. Speaking of drinking, I think one of the most incredible parts about you and in your band is you've done most of this sober.
Yeah. With the Midnight Devils, all of it sober.
And that's incredible because, I mean, congratulations for one.
Thank you.
It's hard to go out and do that kind of lifestyle and play those kind of shows and do it completely sober. I mean, most people have to drink to do that kind of show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so just huge props to you for being able to bring that energy and bring that kind of stuff while being completely sober, do you see like a difference as far as your stage presence is nowadays compared to like, you know, back on our first tour when you know, we were able to drink and like do things, you know, and get a little crazier? Do you notice like any sort of stamina difference or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that especially with this band, it's like we can go as hard as we can go. And that's the thing I do every time, as hard as I can possibly play every single night. And there's never a hangover. There's never any of this. So I really push it every single time. And it's like, it's almost become like a workout. So I'll train in the off season, like when we're not touring. It kind of go hand in hand with the sobriety, you know, working out, and you kind of get that same endorphin rush. I'll push that as hard as I can. And then I know that any other band that we see, if they're drinking or they're partying or whatever, they might come out Billy Badass, got the bottle of Jack. I go, that's fine. I know that I'm going to be able to go 10 times as hard as you can go.
And the whole time.
The whole time.
Because you know that those bands that are drinking are going to like start fading after the third song.
Yeah, they're mess up or whatever. I'm like, I got to unlock. And not even me. It's all three of us. It's all three of us are sober. So
that's because all of you are sober, which is awesome. That's so. I mean, I can't give you enough props for that. That's congratulations on that, because you don't ever see that, man.
And I got to give as much credit to Jimmy and Sniper as well. You know, we didn't set out to be a sober band. It just kind of happened that way. Where we just, none of us drink. It all went very, very badly for us when we were younger. And, you know, Jimmy ended up DUIs and I ended up in a coma and Sniper like lost everything. And
oh my God.
By the time we got together, we were all non-drinkers. We'd already been through it. So it helps to have the team and the nucleus all in the same mind frame.
Absolutely. And again, that's for people out there that think you can't be a rock star and not drink. Like, that's false.
I almost think it's harder because I remember waking up hungover every single day, you know, back when we used to tour and just be like, how am I going to get through this? How are we going to do this? 8 hours in the car. Oh man, we're miserable.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you just get in and go and do it.
Yeah. But then it just, over time, you just get worse and worse, you know,
yeah,
harder and harder. And by the end of that tour, you're just like, I fucking hate everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally true. It just messes with your mind. And I really think having a clear mind, touring so hard as it is, being in a rock band is the hardest thing ever. And adding alcohol is just fuel to the fire that makes it even harder for me.
Yeah. So how long have the Midnight Devils been a band now? How long have you guys been doing this?
I think we started in 2016 or 2017. We started, Sniper and I, the guitar player, we started as just a two-man acoustic group. So we were in 3D In Your Face, and we, you know, we wanted to kind of be the masters of our own destiny. We didn't want to have to be controlled by a manager or somebody else. So we're like, we're just going to go out and play covers, but we're going to do it with, you know, our hair up and the makeup on and play these small towns and these small time bars. And it worked so well. And it was just difficult, you know, like that they're running us out of town. They're like, you guys, oh, I can't believe, you know, like they're just like, you got the faggots are in town. You got to get out of my town. And you know, all the stuff. And I knew that we were onto something because of the way it ruffled so many feathers, good or bad. I kind of felt we were onto something. And we did our first album in a basement in Omaha. And we had no idea how to put an album out, you know, where you even start. And that was like, we kind of just taught ourselves how to do this on our own terms.
Yeah, that's... So what, it's been 8 years now, about 8 years, and you're now, you went from playing in small towns, getting run out, to now you're touring the UK and Australia and those things. What's the next tour you got lined up?
The next one, the big one, we're going to do a couple of dates in the US. So we will leave in about 2 weeks. We'll go down to Florida to West Palm Beach and record our third record, which is, it's very... We're at that, like, I always feel that, though. You put so much pressure on yourself. You're on that tipping point, right?
Sure.
Oh, the third record. Okay, the second one went really good. The third one's got to be the best, and it's got to really push us. So we'll go down and record that record. We got this stellar producer named Brody. He did the first Poison record. He did Ted Nugent, Double Live Gonzo. He worked with Joan Jett. He worked with all these great artists. and he's going to be producing our record. I'm so excited. And wow. You know, as a songwriter and a creator, I love having that kind of like that outside influence. And he's so well known, not well known, but what he does is so well, so good that
right. I'm
soaking up this information like a sponge, you know, as a songwriter, just to create, to make you a better, well-rounded songwriter, to create yeah. those stories. We'll do that. We'll do a little US run in May to get warmed up. We're playing the M3 Festival out in Columbia, Maryland. And then we are headed to Australia. And you can hear it first here. This is an exclusive. I haven't told anybody this.
Oh?
An exclusive just for you.
I need a bumper.
We'll be doing a week in Japan.
Wow.
Australia tour. So we'll do a month in Australia supporting a band called Bond But Not Forgotten, like AC/DC tribute band. And then we'll go over to Japan and do a week over there at the end of that tour.
Is that your first time in Japan?
Yes. And that was always our goal. I mine especially was like live at Budokan. You've heard the stories of Japan. How many yeah. rock bands from the States, let alone Nebraska, go to Japan? I think it was our biggest goal. And now it's right there. We just got to make it happen.
That's awesome. And also, you just answered one of my questions. What's one of your biggest goals? So that's yeah. wonderful. That's actually coming true.
Yeah.
And now that's 2 or 3 years now where you're going internationally.
Yep.
And not just touring, you know, the region over here. Mm-hmm. How has that, like, how has that changed you at all, if it has? Like, because, you know, I'm sure you get noticed every once in a while now, right? Like
yeah,
you
oh, yeah.
have something where people are like, oh my god, is that
yeah,
is that Sam?
I realize that it, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on you, and really to succeed. And everybody, I always think that everybody's always rooting for you, you know, they don't want you to fail. People out there don't want you to fail. When they see you on stage, they want a band to succeed and play great. And so with that, how it changed me is I got a taste of touring and international traveling. We got a taste. The Midnight Devils, and I go, this is so good. And we work so well together, even on an international level, it works great. Okay, we did it. How do we keep it going? How do right. we make it even better? How do we keep coming back and just building on what we've started? And I think that's with this new record that's going to come out, we're really going to push it as far as we can push it. I mean, I always say that with every record, but with this one, it's building off those blocks that we've already created.
Right. That's wonderful. What's been like one of your favorite places to play? Now that you've played, you're a worldwide artist. Have you let yeah. that sink in yet? That
yeah.
you're
no,
a worldwide
like
artist?
They say it all the time. International touring band. I go, yeah. Just it's awesome.
Still, that's gotta be something that, like, you know, sometimes you're in the shower and you're like, oh, you know what? Fuck yeah, you know.
It does. You're just like, it takes back, like, was that real? Was I really in Norway over the summer? Like, that's kind of crazy, you know.
Right. And so what's been one of your favorite places to play now around the world?
We had such a great reception. We went to Spain last year, and we just touched down in Spain, and we were just jet lagged as hell. I think we spent like 2 weeks in the UK, and then we flew from the UK to Spain and started like a week in Spain. And as soon as we got off the plane, people are just going crazy. They're like American rock and rollers. And they're singing, like, we have all the locals all just standing outside on the corner in Madrid, Spain, and we're all singing Bohemian Rhapsody as loud as we can. And like I was saying, that international language, that rock yeah. and roll, it brought us all together. And so it's just like the Spanish audiences were just unbelievable. They came to rock. They wanted to rock. It's like they hadn't had that release. And the
right.
great set up these awesome shows, and I just was like, man, Spain was unbelievable. And we did 2 weeks in Italy, you know, saw some of the most amazing things ever. And then the shows are just spectacular.
Yeah. How does that work? Are you playing mostly like bars, or are you doing
yeah.
more
yeah.
venues and stuff like that?
We're doing like venues, like 300 seater venues. And the cool thing is we're on tour with Pretty Boy Floyd on some of these. We did Enough's Enough. We did some headlining stuff. And they really like having that helps build our audience. You know, going through, it kind of sucks not being the headlining act, but Pretty Boy Floyd and Enough's Enough are our friends. And so they have people that come out to every show. And so it really put us in a position to shine in front of a brand new audience supporting these kind of like guys that we look up to.
Right. And so Pretty Boy Floyd, they've been around for a while, haven't they?
Yeah, since 88, 89.
Okay. And they're kind of like the tail end of that that generation, I feel like.
Yes.
But there are, is it still the original members in that band?
Just the original singers, the only one.
Okay. Okay. It's cool, though. They're still doing it. And yeah, even better that they're taking you guys like with them. It seems like it's like the passing of the baton.
Yes.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yep. And it's the same kind of thing, like where I'll call Steve, Steve Summers, the lead singer, you know, and we got a thing where we almost talk every week still. And he'll just call and chat. And I just go, man, a 16-year-old Sam had the picture of Pretty Boy Floyd on his wall. And now I got a weekly conversation with Uncle Steve Summers, Mr. Sex Summers, from Pretty Boy Floyd, just to chat. It's cool. It's really cool.
Do you have any other celebrities on the line that you chat with?
Oh yeah, tons. Like Chip produced our last record though. Chip's Enough from Enough's Enough, and that one of the coolest things ever. And just becoming really good friends with him. He smokes a ton of weed, and so we were in Amsterdam with like the Godfather, the weed Godfather in
the weed father weed
heaven, you know, in Amsterdam. And it was brilliant. But all these guys that we've toured with, you know, we end up becoming friends with them. And it's just so cool to me that they consider the Midnight Devils like a cool band to work with, and that we're good guys and we can hang out with. I love that feeling.
Yeah. All this talk of all the good stuff. What about any challenges? Like what's as someone that has started at the beginning, basically, and worked his way up to a worldwide touring artist, what have been like some of your biggest challenges in getting to that point?
The challenge is always like the unknown and the stuff that the skills and stuff that I don't quite yet have, but that I'm shooting for. So like I said, putting out a record, like when we put out the first record, I was like, man, I have no idea who even makes CDs. I don't even know. How do you get a CD to even transfer like that? So that's kind of like we're pushing our way through these big hurdles. Like, how do you get a band from Nebraska into Europe? Would your guitars, your merch, like I don't know how to do any of this.
Right.
And that's been always our challenge is like, how do we move our band around the world?
And you're doing this all by yourself, right? Like correct. You don't have an agent or anything like that.
So that's like our tough part is nobody's going to give you anything. Nobody's going to tell you or show you how to do this. You have to figure it out on your own. Trial and error.
I mean, that's got to be a challenge in itself, just not having that backing, because you're not on a record label or anything, are you?
Not yet. We're looking to sign with one. We did release our last record through Pavement Entertainment, which got us great distribution worldwide. It was good. I want more. And so I'm not satisfied with what it is. And I have such great ideas, you know, with this record that's going to be coming out with the Midnight Devils. I'm like, it's there. I just need to find that record company or that guy, or I'm going to do it myself. One or the other. Like I know what's there and I can feel it and it's good. I just got to make it happen now.
Do you think in this day, like now, I mean, compared to like when we were making music 20 years ago, do you think it's easier now to do it by yourself? Like, do you think you even need that help, like, or a record label? Would you
yes and no. So it's because it's a double-edged sword. You want the label to help you because the label has the reach. So when you release the record, the label will push it, distribute it, and put it on all the whatever Spotify, all these playlists, and get you all the interviews, the publicity. But there is like that part, that punk rock part of me that says, why would I give this label part of this creative thing that we've done? We can do it all ourselves without a label. And for the most part, we sold 1,000 CDs last year ourselves.
Congrats. That's a huge, huge accomplishment.
Yeah, it's unheard of.
Smaller band. Yeah.
And there's no other way to do it but being out on the road and touring and grinding and grinding and grinding CD by CD by CD. That's it.
Right. And that, like you said, that's so hard to do now. Who buys CDs anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm the only person I know that still has a CD player even in their car.
And the color, like, we just released a cassette tape too. It was going so well. Like, we put out a vinyl single for that the last record, which is like a 300 copy worldwide etched vinyl single. And that was just,
wow,
and like our music's on vinyl and it's the coolest thing ever, you know. Yeah. Like vinyl. So I was like, okay, the vinyl went really good, let's try a tape. And so we made cassette tapes that are like pink and green shelled.
That's awesome.
With brand new artwork on them and everything. And I think they're the coolest thing ever. And it's no joke. If I talk about a cassette with you, you go, oh yeah, yeah, I know a cassette. But if I were to hand you a physical cassette, you'd be like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. You know, it transports you back to like the 90s, early 2000s, when you had cassettes and you were reading the liner notes in the cassettes. It's such a cool thing, a cool feeling.
Heck yeah. I kind of still scoff at cassettes right now. I never really liked cassettes back in the day. I always had issues with them, but it's crazy that they're making a comeback.
Yep. I worked at a record shop for so long, or for like 3 years. And I go, cassettes, why would anybody buy cassettes? It's stupid. It's a dead medium, right? Yeah. Then guys that come in and pay $80 for Metallica cassettes and they go through cassettes for hours. And I was like, okay, there's something here. People still like it.
Yeah, there's definitely a niche to it. Yep. But there's a market there for sure. And that's awesome that you guys sold CDs and cassettes and vinyls. Like, again, that's pretty much unheard of. You guys are also on Spotify, though.
Yeah, on Spotify, like on all the streaming platforms. Yep.
But again, selling, that's just, I don't know. I know so many people in bands that struggle so much to sell any CDs or anything like that. So it's, again, huge accomplishment, man. Congrats.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm talking to a professional musician, artist, touring, all this crazy shit now. Like,
it's all been trial and error. I'm telling you, that's all it is. Is like, okay, where we failed on the first record, I'm gonna fix it for the second record. Where we failed on second record, I'm gonna make it even better on the third record. You know, we keep getting these cool opportunities. And it goes along with that freedom, with this band especially, the artwork that we design and the graphics, the image, really takes a page from, say, like the Kiss and the Misfits and bands like that that had great images, great, great images that you could just stare at forever. And I really wanted this band to kind of be like that. So our cover art, our posters, everything like that has kind of turned into almost like a cartoon comic book style rock and roll. And it's really cool and it's really freeing.
Because even your videos kind of
match
up with that stuff, right? I think one of your videos has like the little devil guy in it and all the you guys.
What they call him. He's my cousin.
He's your cousin.
He's my cousin, yeah. He's a pink bastard and he's like our mascot. He's our Eddie.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
So like when we do shows and when he can get to the shows, he'll dress like that and just walk around at the shows. And he'll be like out on the street in front of the venue harassing people walking by, you know, with a megaphone. And they're like, this 300, 400, 500 pound guy dressed all in pink with a shirt off. You know,
that's a sight right there for sure. And does he go with you a lot?
He does a little bit. He's still kind of local right now, just because it's just been the three of us and it's hard to add another person into the mix, especially touring internationally.
Yeah, but he would be a great merch guy.
Oh, just fantastic.
Just keep him posted up at the merch table with the air horn and stuff.
And, like, and he's created this character. We had the idea for the character and then he created the Pink Bastard character and has turned it into like where he'll dress like the Pink Bastard at, say, Comic-Con, or he'll go to other band shows and dress like the Pink Bastard, and everybody knows, they're like, that's the guy from the Midnight Devils. I know it. And, you know, it's given him this space to be who he wants to be in spite of all the naysayers and people like, oh, he can't do this, he can't do that. And it's just this giant middle finger to everybody. Yeah.
He's like, the fuck, I can't. I'll do whatever I want.
Exactly. He's like, that's not what your girlfriend said last night. What? You know, it's so good.
Oh, man. And that's so perfect for you guys and your style.
Like, it's like the underdog. You know, it gave the underdog and moved them to the top. That's what it did.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like just in general, like you were kind of an underdog, you know, and you've made it like to a, you're not, I wouldn't say you're necessarily at the top yet, but you're well on your way there. What's like your dream tour? Like if you could go on tour with two bands right now for the world, to go tour the world.
For the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a difficult thing because it's like, I don't want to tour. I want to be the headlining act. That's how, like,
Who do you want opening for you?
And there's so many great, bands in this genre that work so hard that
No. I don't want none of that. I want your egotistical. I want these motherfuckers opening for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I were to be in a big band, I want the Used and My Chemical Romance opening for me so they can witness the glory that I am.
Absolutely. And then, so if we get to that point, if we get to this question, and I love this question, I could talk like this. I would want to tour with Kiss. Kiss is my all-time favorite band. But how do you top Kiss? It's almost impossible.
No. You could do it.
It's a great thing. It's true. But Kiss, what they don't have is they're older. You know, they're older and they've been doing it. They're kind of set in their ways, where we're a new up-and-coming band of hungry musicians that are ready to put it all on the line any night of the week and go as hard as we can go.
Right.
So Kiss is my all-time favorite band. That's the band I want to tour with, you know.
That would be so cool. Do they even tour anymore?
They're done. They officially, okay. You know, it ended. And I don't even know if that's what I want, because it's like, we don't want to play to an arena full of people sitting down or in reserves. You want that. You want that madness, the crazy party. Yeah.
I you know, there's everyone's got a dream. You know what I mean? Everyone has that dream that they want to do. And I knowing you, and when we'd practice in your basement and all the Kiss cutouts that you had, I already knew you were going to say that, but I figured I would ask anyway.
The one I'm working on now is I really want to tour with Steel Panther.
I was gonna ask you in this interview, like, have you been in contact with them?
Because yes,
I feel like you guys and Steel Panther would be the tour of a lifetime, dude. Would be so much fun.
I think it'd be funny to pit the new school versus the old school, where Steel Panther is this already established, very well established rock band, and they're carrying that torch. But we're the guys coming up hungry, you know, biting at their heels. And I thought it'd be such a cool. So I'm putting Steel Panther on blast. And I'm like, we need to take this tour. You guys got the balls to go toe to toe with the Midnight Devils. I don't do. You get off your high horse, your rock star high horse, and come down with the punk rockers and see how you party.
I'm going to get in on that. I wonder if they have a Twitter. I'll just go start.
You should.
Hounding them on Twitter constantly. Yeah. Because everyone out there listening should go hound Steel Panther on Twitter and tell them to go on tour with the Midnight Devils.
Only if they got the balls to do it.
Only if they got the balls, though, for sure. Because that would be such a fun show. I mean, it would. I feel like towards, you know, once you guys started getting a stride, there'd be like a competition.
Absolutely. You know? It'd be brilliant.
And
the whole thing would be, it'd be a cool work that you put together with the band, you know, like. It mixed wrestling, professional wrestling, and rock and roll together, which I think would be cool.
Yeah.
Damn, and just throw a covering of glitter over everything, and we're fine.
Your wardrobe would be massive, too. You'd have to take, like, a whole chest with you.
A whole chest of lingerie, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a certain, like, stage fit that you wear, or do you kind of... Because I always imagined you like just hitting up a Goodwill in the city that you're in and just finding the most raunchy rock and roll clothes you could find.
That's more of our drummer,
Jimmy. Okay.
Yeah. So where I do, but mine is more like I consider myself the princess of rock and roll. But mine's very well thought of and put together and looks very nice and arises a lot of questions in people. Where Jimmy is the guy that goes to Goodwill. He's like, prom dress. Cool, I'm wearing that tonight. You know, I gotta give him the most credit ever, because it's like, he is rock and roll incarnate, and there's something about drummers you already know, you know, from our time, something about drummers, you guys got like a screw loose. It's not quite, but I love it. And it's what keeps it real. And that's the keeps it real rock and roll. And he will like, he's a professional at getting his luggage lost in the airport, you know? So we started a tour with Pretty Boy Floyd in Houston. It must have been 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half. And he shows up in Houston, first day of the tour. And he goes, they lost my luggage. I got, these are those, the only clothes I have. And so we put out like an APB on Facebook, like, hey, if you're coming to the show, bring some clothes. Somebody
I remember that, yeah.
Three pink prom dresses. So all he had was a pair of jeans, a shirt, and three pink prom dresses. And for a week, that's all he wore. Till he lost those. Like he left them in a sack sitting outside of a hotel. Oh. Thought it was garbage and took it away.
Oh, wow. did he ever get his luggage?
Never got. Oh, no, one he did get. But it's like, we're talking like years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, at least he's good at finding stuff on the road. Yeah. I would lose my mind.
I wouldn't be able to do it either. I'd have gone crazy.
Yeah, especially because I'm sure, you know, all your cosmetics are in there,
right.
Too.
Like, exactly. But everything I'm in that bag. Not perfectionist, but it's like being on the road, I do everything the exact same way every single time to kind of eliminate any unknown and anything that might throw a wrench in the plan.
Yeah, it's like those superstitious baseball players, basically doing the same shit. So, do you change it up per tour? Like, do you? Because I know that you do the whole get up. Like, this video doesn't do justice. You do the whole get up, and of course there'll be a couple clips of this like on YouTube and stuff. But do you do different makeup for different tours, or do you do the same style every time? Because I know you kind of got like a. It's like the whiteness, but I feel like it changes up a little bit every once in a while.
Yeah, it definitely does change. So it's changed, I think, almost with every album. So I don't intentionally do it, but like once it runs its course, you kind of know. And once you go, okay, that's been really cool and that's worked for me, but I need to change it and make it interesting and keep people engaged. Same with like the costumes. And they're not even costumes. It's just clothes, really. It's clothes that we find that we think are cool that kind of go with our idea and what we're working with and looks good on stage.
You guys need action figures.
That's and like that Sniper just brought up, but you want to do Funko Pop. That was my interesting thing that I was going to show you. So you said bring something. I was looking and I just got these in the mail. They're Midnight Devil's tattoos.
Oh, no way. That's so cool.
Very tattoos.
That's so cool.
Everybody has tattoos, but now you can get a Midnight Devil's tattoo.
Oh, I love that. The merch I feel like is where you guys could have a lot of fun. You get the different action figures, and like if you have it could be like, this is the Funko Pop from the 2023 tour with that style of makeup. It's a collector's edition. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That
and somebody actually made me a 3D printed Sam Spade action figure with a bass guitar. Like it was completely down like to the tattoos, to the makeup. Correct guitar. It was really cool. And I go, that's a good idea. We need to put this, but like in G.I. Joe's figures.
Like a little 3-4 or whatever.
Yeah. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. Hey, man, when that happens, you got to let me know because I'll buy the whole set.
Yeah, absolutely. See, it's become a collector's thing.
Yeah. And I'm a big collector. So and especially of action figures. Oh, that'd be so fun to just come into my house and be like, hey, Sam.
Yeah, it's going to get there. It's going to get there.
Oh, good times. So how would you personally twist someone's arm into going to a Midnight Devil show? Like, what would be your pitch?
My pitch would be, have you ever seen the thunder and the lightning mixed together on a stormy night? And you're right in the epicenter of the hurricane coming, making landfall. And you walk through those front doors. And inside, that is the Midnight Devils. And now that you've taken this upon yourself to venture out into the unknown, you are part of the Midnight Devils. You have become part of this group, and you've become part of the party. And now we're going to see where this night takes us. And you know that it's going to be something insane, some story you're going to tell your kids later on down the line. That one night I hung out with the Midnight Devils, it got crazy. Shit got real.
That needs to be the intro to your album or to an album. Like someone walking into a saloon and that's all you hear.
It's a moonless night.
The sun I love that.
Off in the distance.
So that being said, let's play a little track here. I think you said we could play, I think, what song was it that we were going to play here? Which one?
Highway 69. Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about the song.
Glad you asked because you'll love the story. So the story is that we were on tour. Our first big tour was 2020. Like our first, we were opening for a band called the Choir Boys, and they're like our heroes. And I remember watching the Choir Boys like on video cassette in my house going, I love this band. And then we got the tour and we were cruising from Corpus Christi, Texas, all the way up to Oklahoma. And in that time we were on Highway 69, right? Or we were close or we had seen it, and we got pulled over. After a show, we got pulled over by the Texas State Trooper, and we pull our bus over the side of the road, and the guy comes up to the side and he opens it up and we all look at him, and there's three or four guys just makeup covered, right? After the gig, and he's like, what are you guys doing? And we explained everything to him, and I was like, this is it. We're going to get arrested by the state troopers in Texas. Like, we look like the biggest bunch of freaks. We're riding in a tour bus, which isn't really a tour bus. It's like an airport shuttle bus. You know? Yeah. And he just goes, well, you guys were swerving. I go, yeah, it's really windy out here. And he let us go. Nothing happened. We made it to the next gig fine. But it was like one of those close calls. It was like those hairy situations. And it just was like too perfect to not write down. So that's kind of where the inspiration for the song came from.
Absolutely. He probably just wanted none of that smoke.
No,
like, I'm not.
He wanted none. Like, I had no shirt on. Makeup was like smeared down, you know, there's glitter everywhere. Snipers in the front seat screaming. And I go, yep, okay. This is how we're gonna go down in Texas.
Oh, no way. He's like, you boys, you guys just get on out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. Travel safe.
That's awesome. Well, with that being said, this is Highway 69 by the Midnight Devils from the album. What's the album called?
Never Beg For It.
Never Beg For It.
Yeah.
Highway 69. From the Midnight Devils, off the album Never Beg For It.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
It reminds me, it's nostalgic to me, I feel like.
Because
you listen to it and you're like, man, this kind of just reminds me of better days. You know what I mean? Yeah. Of hanging out with the crew and like just partying or whatever. Like, it's a really fun tune. So
thank you.
I'm excited to see what your new album is going to be about. So you said you're recording it here soon. Do you have a release date yet, or is that
no release? The plan is to have something out before the Australian tour starts. So that's really what we're pushing for, is at least have a video, a single, EP or something out before we head to Australia, Japan.
Nice. I am excited to hear that for sure. And are you guys funding this whole thing by yourself?
Yes, absolutely.
Again, mad props, dude. Incredible. That's what this is all about. Like, learning about people that have done it on their own and been successful. Like, I love hearing these stories. It's incredible to see how far you have come and how far other people have come just by starting with nothing. And I love to hear it. Is there any piece of advice that you would give someone, say like a 15-year-old kid that's like, I really want to play guitar in a band and I feel like I want to do this, you know, I want to tour and stuff. Like, what piece of advice would you give to that young man?
The advice is to never let up, to go for those dreams, because you only have one go around this whole thing, you know, one time around this world. And if you want to go, do it. There's nothing that's stopping you except for yourself. And that's really where we all kind of get into our own heads and think that we don't have what it takes. We're not good enough. You know, other people have better opportunities. And it's not true. It's like, if you dream it, if you want it, there's no stopping you from going to do it. And it's like, how dedicated can you be? Can you overcome every obstacle and every adversity and face that situation and learn from it? You know, bad stuff's going to happen, but it's all about how you take it and become better, you know, despite these bad things happening. And I think that that's really where it was with starting in Fremont. And just, we just played and we practiced and we had a blast, and that's what we did. And we loved rock and roll so much, and we still do, that it never stopped for me. It was just on my mind constantly, and it still is every single day. Like, how do we get to where we want to go? And I don't think that we're going to rest until we get there. And I don't want to rest. I want to go out and see the world. I want to play music and make my statement. Whatever that statement is going to be, we're here to make that statement.
Yeah. Do you know what that statement is yet?
Not yet.
That's all right. You're still figuring it out.
Yep.
That's wonderful. And great advice too. I think that's huge. Just kind of stick with it, you know?
Yeah.
Things can change, plans can change, but like, it's definitely worth it in the end.
It's what you want to accomplish with your life. Don't let anybody, you can't, because you know, you're the in control of your destiny. And that kind of ties it all the way back to how the Midnight Devils formed, is we didn't want to have somebody controlling our destiny. So we did it ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Great, great piece of advice. I did want to do our quick little...
It's time for Quick Twist.
But this Quick Twist is the part of the show where we talk about something that we think everyone should at least give a chance. So I'd like to start with Sam. I believe you said you brought a band that you think everyone should check out. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
There's a great rock and roll band from Norway called the Suicide Bombers. And I've been really loving those guys, the attitude, the music, the lyrics, the tongue-in-cheek. The production is really well. Everything about that band I think is really, really cool. And the way that it's done is exciting and hilarious. And that's really the most important thing. If you take anything from this whole conversation, is that we love rock and roll more than life itself, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. It's all about having fun, laughing, smiling, and really that positive action. And I think with especially with the Suicide Bombers, like, what a great band. Check them out. They just released a video, a new album and a video, and it's called All for the Candy, which is up for debate what the candy actually is.
Have you played with these guys?
We have not played with them, but when we were in Norway, we ran into the lead singer, and he's the glam rock Führer. If you can,
oh my god, yeah, looking at him right now, this is I'm going to follow them. Give them a follow, like a couple songs for sure. Yeah. Because they look like a lot of fun.
So we got into Norway, and it was the very first day, like, traveled from Omaha to Norway. And that first day, he was there and ready to party, and we stayed out all night. He was just drinking, just going crazy, and we were just right there in the thick of it with him. I was like, this is brilliant. I love Norway. Here in Oslo, you know, just like just roaming around the city, the Midnight Devils and the Suicide Bombers. It was awesome.
What a good introduction. Was that the first time you were ever there?
The first time we were there and the first time I met him, but I'd known him for a long time, and we contacted him on Facebook, and he brought all the Suicide Bombers vinyls because he knew I was a collector.
Nice.
And so we had all the vinyls, and he introduced us to all these people. It's great, great band, great guys. And we also toured with a band called the Razorbats, which is another Norwegian band. So for those just kind of picking this up, like, there's great rock and roll out there. And it's just
Norway has a ton of good music too.
Yeah.
They've always had a bunch of good, like, even if you're looking at like black metal and stuff, like, they're a great metal country.
We went to the black metal record shop while we were up there, where it all started, and it was just so cool. But you could definitely feel it. You're like, this is a country with great rock and roll and great metal.
Yeah. And again, these guys look like a ton of fun, just their album cover alone,
right? Isn't it brilliant?
Yeah.
Dick.
I will absolutely check them out and do a follow-up on that for sure. My quick twist for the week was on a totally different aspect or a totally different realm. I recently got a Meta Quest 2, the virtual reality game. I don't know if you ever played virtual reality?
Funny thing. I want to introduce you while she's sitting here so quietly, but my fiance Carrie's here, and she's really one that has pushed a lot of what we've done and really.
Hi.
Josh.
Hey. Nice to meet you.
So she has a 6-year-old son.
Okay.
He, for his birthday, got the VR, right?
Ah.
And that has just been it's almost hell on earth in here. So I know what you're talking about, but we're like, we don't talk about.
He has yet to put it on to see how cool it is to understand.
You want to say hi to?
He
did his first radio interview the other day.
The virtual.
Oh, nice. You're getting used to it then. You're already getting ready to start doing interviews later on, huh?
Yo, right now.
Hi.
Who's your favorite?
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Give him one.
Heck yeah.
Used to be a
to meet you.
About the VR.
Yeah. What do you think about the VR? About your VR games?
You love it. Yeah, tell him.
There's Gorilla Tag.
What did you get? What was the one you got?
Me, I got this game called Ragnarok. It's a drumming game. It's like Guitar Hero, but drums.
Yeah.
And it's all like what do you call it? Viking metal, basically.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know if you've ever heard of the band Windrose. Really, really cool, like dwarf metal, basically, that just makes you want to go march into the mines of Mordor, you know? Cool. Like, so it's this game is like, it's been my favorite so far. I have a couple different ones. The Star Wars game, of course, is a ton of fun. But this Ragnarok, man, it's especially as someone that got rid of his drum set a couple years ago and is saving up to get a new one. This has been a good replacement substitute because you put that mask on and you're on a boat and you're just banging on drums. And it's like, it's one of the coolest things I've ever done. So, and again, check it out, like put the VR headset on just like to look into it. Because it's incredible what they're doing with games nowadays.
It is true. I don't blame him. He just gets so excited about it. And I understand. I used to be excited too.
And I just get excited about different things.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance, Beat Saber is a really, that's like the norm for the VR. It's the one where you got the two lightsabers and you're playing music and like doing whatever. I'm excited to see where it goes. Like, it's a really good beginning stages of VR. I'm a little worried that we're going to start getting to Star Trek, like holodeck stuff, where you don't know exactly where you are and you can kind of start losing your mind a little bit. But for now, it's great. When I'm older and that shit's all out, great, whatever. You guys can deal with that. But for now, I'm loving my Meta Quest. So, That's it for the quick twist this week, though. Definitely check out the Suicide Bombers. And if you have spare change, get yourself a MetaQuest 2 because it's a good time. I think that's about all I have for this, Sam. I just thank you again so much for coming on and chatting and giving us a little insight on the Midnight Devils.
Yeah, my pleasure. Definitely hit me with your address and I'll ship a t-shirt out to you. Oh.
Right. Thank you all for checking out this week's episode of the Twist My Arm podcast. I love those guys. If you get a chance, make sure to check out the Midnight Devils if they hit your town. Or just go into the notes and go to their Spotify link and listen to some of their tunes. They're a great time. If you're looking to party or just go to a fun show, this is definitely the band to check out. Next week, I have good friend Nick coming on to talk about his art. I met him at San Diego Comic-Con last year, and I just had to have him on the show. So I'm extremely excited for him to come on and talk about his endeavors in the art world. We get a little in-depth on AI and other things that are coming to light in the world of art. So be sure to check that one out next week. And of course, make sure to follow Twist My Arm anywhere you listen to podcasts or anywhere you do social media. Just search Twist My Arm Podcast. Thank you again. My name is Josh. We're going to talk to you next week.
Oh, he gave me the old quick twist last night.